ringers.
Mr. President, great news. They've said yes.
I knew they would. So when is Mr. Snuffleupagus coming to live with me?
Not Sesame Street, Mr. Bush. The Chinese. They're releasing our captured aircrew.
I am aware of the currentness of the situation at this point in the current press, and I'm not a complete wit in it. Of course they're releasing the capturated crew. Expediting their lack of imprisonment wasn't complicatorized.
But how, sir?
The problem with the Japanese is they do not clarificate themselves in an uncomplicatory stylization in the manner of a citizen of this great country of ours, which is the United States of Armenia, which is this one. So, I enlisticated the services of a negotiator who could speak to them in their own language.
You're a little fine, I, Mr. President, I must have a little assistance. Bringing this crisis to a peaceful conclusion.
He is speaking Chinese, ain't he?
Yes, sir.
As tribal infighting spread throughout Marish Nador, President Kurumata urged calm, despite fears that the country's economy is now so ravaged that all...
And with the time at 5:30 a.m., that's where we leave the World Service and join Radio 4 for the day.
My goodness, and not a moment too soon. What was all that about? All those silly names and raised voices. Yes, and we all know why they're always fighting all the time, don't we? Because it's far too hot there, and they don't have any proper toilets. But you're feeling safe now, aren't you? You're home. Yes, just the two of us, safe and warm, in a place where everyone's been to a posh university and has nice names with a sensible number of vowels in them. Now, just before farming today, we begin the Radio 4 theme. And the theme is... I don't care what these people do, as long as they don't do it in my front room.
Welcome to Parkinson. I'm joined now by Robbie Williams and his very good friend, Jerry. Yes, I know it's pitiful, isn't it, to think I once used to interview people like Muhammad Ali. Anyway, so, Robbie, there are rumours floating about you and Jerry and the nature of your friendship. I mean, is there any truth to them?
Hey, Parky, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you, these last 3 weeks have been like, you know, something really special. Nights by the fireside, marathon lovemaking sessions, senseless kneecappings. She's a one-in-a-million girl. Jerry, I love you. From your cute little button nose to your big bushy beard and huge crooked teeth. I really respect the fact she's into politics. I mean, you know, that UNICEF thing was really smart. But now all this stuff about United Ireland, I respect it. I really do, you know.
And what about you, Jerry?
Well, it's been a whirlwind, Michael. 3 weeks ago, I was talking with David Trimble about the prospects of reinstating the Northern Ireland Assembly. And here I am.
Hey, she's great, ain't she, Parky? I'm the envy of every man I know.
Robbie, I'm afraid there's no way to break this to you gently. I mean, you're so mad you haven't realised that for the last 3 weeks you haven't been dating Jerry Halliwell. You've been dating Jerry Adams. That's the Jerry Adams who helped found a terror group.
Hey, don't be so rude, Parky. The Spice Girls were all right.
Dear the Queen, thank you very much for your invitation to dinner this week. Bulgy smile, gracious eyes. Unfortunately, myself and my wife, the grinning Joker out of Batman, were not able to attend due to a prior commitment. Nervous tick, beaming hair. And of course, that commitment is the one that your son Edward made at the altar to that mouthy, doe-eyed, jumped-up PR girl who said that my wife was horrid. Angry flash of temper. But for her, we would have been pleased to come. Last time, we particularly enjoyed the gin and Guinness-filled Finder's Crispy pancakes that the Queen Mother set fire to. But we'd have rather chewed our own legs off than have to talk to that Sophie. And I thought it was just Cherie who had a big mouth. See you soon. Lots of love, Tony. P.S. Starry ears, perspiring shirt, missing the party face.
You're listening to Today, the time is a secret.
Is this a case of bureaucracy gone mad? A greengrocer has been convicted for refusing to sell his goods in metric measurements. He joins us now from the radio car. Now, why are you so stuck on pounds and ounces?
Oh, because I will never desert the imperial cause.
But, Mr. Vader, your imperial system is simply outdated, isn't it?
That's not what the imperial stormtroopers that come into my shop say. I don't want to send them out with 800 grams of my damsons when they're crushing the Rebel Alliance.
You're planning an appeal, I gather.
Yes, I have been offered financial assistance by those from the dark side.
You mean the Imperial High Council?
No, the UK Independence Party.
Darth Vader, thank you.
One more thing. John Humphreys.
Yes?
I am your father.
And there's more gritty, realistic TV detectives now on Crime Doubles 2. A sinister drug cartel is flooding Britain's streets with illegal narcotics. Two hardened officers are sent deep undercover to smash the gang. They're so focused, they're so gritty, they're so macho detective!
DC Graham Norton.
And me, AC/DC Dale Winter.
First, Dale and Graham win the gang's trust.
Why should we let you into our vicious smuggling ring?
For a start, Pedro, we're the hardest people we know. We're the guys you want round when it comes to the rough stuff.
Yes! Oh, yes, you can see that we're both pretty handy with our fists. Now, come on, stand up. Stand up if you think we should be allowed to join your evil smuggling gang.
Then, after smashing the operation, so macho detectives interrogate the Mr. Big.
Pedro, we want answers. What we want to know is...
You'll get nothing out of me.
It's how you've got such lovely skin. Do you know, the minute I step out the door, I start to peel. But you have a lovely olive complexion. Do you exfoliate or scrub, sweetheart?
I love what you've done with that crocodile skin belt.
It's that tiger print jacket Gucci, because it is to die for.
3 hours later.
All right, I'll tell you everything. Just please, no more compliments about my appearance.
So macho squad. Dale and Graham are the boys in blue, yellow and cerise cat suits and feather boas.
Thank you. It is with much regret that I announce that Brian Sewell, a name with which to conjure, cannot take up its telephonic position at present. I beg you to extemporize your message forthwith. Iambic, Alexandrian, Pentrarchan sonnet, what you will. But none of that modern doggerel, I beseech you. Please leave your message after the snort of disdain.
Deprivation, destitution, misery, degradation. Just four of the words you'll always find in a report by me, Virgil Keane. God, I'm good. Earlier today, my 14-month-old toddler was playing with his toys in the living room. He's still too small to comprehend the poverty in the world around him and to understand that toys, when played with, have to be put away. Little Sean's safely tucked up in bed now, but his terrifying legacy remains. Where once there was calm, a tidy rug, the odd magazine open on the telly pages, now lies devastation. Giant Lego buildings made up with the help of Daddy, Duplo bungalows fashioned into emergency hospitals by my careful hand, lie in pieces across the living room carpet. Aggravation. Annihilation. Alliteration, it's all here. And with a bit of luck, a BAFTA News Award for the mantelpiece. This is Fergal Keane, off now to witness the horror, the abomination, in short, the unrelenting misery that is tonight's episode of Star for a Night.
Hey, people, yeah, listen up. Trendy jeans, starry eyes, nervous smile, yeah. To celebrate the Easter hauls, I've signed up a galaxy of Labour-supporting celebrity superstars. Tony Robinson, that fella who used to be gay on EastEnders, even Melvin Bragg, to tell you that going on holiday in England is like cool again. Hey, check this out.
I mean, for crying out loud, you have to visit the countryside. Now! I mean, there are shops in the Lake District who haven't sold a William Wordsworth tea towel in 17 weeks. I mean, Devon and Cornwall are literally collapsing under the weight of thousands of unsold cream teas. Petrol stations are going bust while townies choose not to visit their second homes. So on behalf of the English Tourist Board, I'm saying, give us your f***ing money now.
I'm Charlotte Green. Man, I feel like a woman. And now a brand new Radio 4 dramatization of The Godfather. Godfather, I am Liz Barclay, and I need your help. I do not know where else to turn. My program, You and Yours, is terribly dull. It goes on and on for what seems like an eternity. I went to the Radio 4 controller, but she just laughed in my face. I need help, Godfather. I said to my co-presenter, for justice, we must go to one man.
Me, Brian Perkins. Miss Barclay, why did you go to the controller? Why didn't you come to me first?
I'll do anything you ask, Don Perkins. What do you want me to do?
Liz Barclay, we have known each other many years, but this is the first time you've come to me for help. You must show me respect.
I respect you.
That's what Michael Burke said when I covered up that incident with him and Francine Stock in the Radio 4 stationery cupboard.
Will you help me, Godfather?
Alas, I cannot. You and yours is beyond help. Maybe if you come to me sooner.
Can you do nothing?
I will cut off something horrific and sickening and put it in James Nocte's bed.
Not a horse's head.
No, Melvin Bragg's hair.
Good morning, Lucasfilm.
Hello, Lucasfilms.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, I'm calling from Great Britain. It's William Hague, the leader of the Conservative Party.
Okay.
I just wanted to say what an enormous fan of Star Wars I am.
Okay.
A wonderful...
Well, thank you.
A wonderful modern myth. I wonder, the Star Wars main theme is so familiar. Has anyone ever put lyrics to that before?
I have no idea.
Really? Well,
I really don't.
This is quite good. I have actually written some words that could go with the music. And I'm quite proud. Here we go.
Hold on, I'm sorry.
And I will perform the lyrics that I have written now. Here we go. Star Wars in space. Star Wars in space. D2 and C3PO Han Solo and Luke Skywalker, Princess Leia and Obi-Wan Kenobi, and Darth Vader, who is back. What do you think about that?
Hello, it's me again. Just let me sit down and take the weight off my superiority. I won't be long. If I sit still, I attract dust, and I won't have that in my house. Now, it's about this so-called restructuring of Marks and Spencer. I have it on good authority that you're closing the French end of your operation. Outrageous! Where else are the people of Europe to buy exotic Belgian chocolates, unusual German sausages, and fresh French bread? Well, you could say Belgium, Germany and France, and you'd be right, but, and mine is a big but, it wouldn't be the same, would it? And I'll tell you why. Because these items wouldn't have M and S written on them and cost an extra £2 for no discernible reason, would they? That's the difference, gentlemen. M&S exists because there are some of us who wouldn't be seen dead in Asda, let me tell you that. That's for people who go shopping in their slippers. Anyway, I must dash. I've got a half-finished toilet tissue cosy that's positively aching for a basket stitch. Cheerio. And in a change to the advertised schedule here on BBC One, here's Patrick Moore with The Spy at Night.
Hello. Those of us watching The Spy at Night, over China, over last week, have been witness to a very extraordinary phenomenon indeed. A huge flare-up between Washington and Beijing, emanating outward from a single explosion of considerable force and magnitude. The question remains, what caused it? No one can quite know for sure. So, it joins the other great unanswered questions about the universe. Did life begin on other planets? Was the universe created by a single Big Bang? And why don't I buy another jacket? Amazingly, in the wake of the incident, we have received signals that sound almost like human words.
I'd like to prognosticate in the strongest terms possible about the manner in which the Chinese has behaviorized towards the captivated American service personnel. If they are expectorating some sort of apologizatory ejaculation from the office of the presidential, then they're going to be sadly disappointed.
Is this perhaps the first sign of intelligent life out there amongst the cosmos?
Well, the sooner we can facilitate their journey away from being incarcerated in China, the sooner normalized relations can be resumed between ourselves and the Japanese government.
Intelligent life? Probably not. Good night.
Hello, you joined me tonight on my answer phone. I'm Melvin Bragg, and unfortunately, I'm not being self-important at the moment. So I would be grateful if you would summarize the key factors and influences that inform the content of your message. Please pay particular attention to the role of 21st century communication discourse theory as it applies to our contemporary understanding of the voicemail. Leave your message after the snotty, bunged-up sniff. Thank you.
And I'm Joe Grundy.
We're just two of the nation's top celebrities who've joined the government's campaign to tell you town folk you're more than welcome to come and visit the countryside.
No, you're not. We don't like strangers.
Well, Sven-Goran Eriksson, truly a fairy tale start to your time as England manager. Famously, you're a man of few words, so it's good of you to speak to me.
Well, Mamma Mia, here I go again, but my, how can I resist you?
Well, thanks very much. So what about you and Captain David Beckham? That posh is a bit of all right, don't you think?
Well, she's a dancing queen, young and sweet, only 17.
Really? That makes a lot of sense, actually. So, tell us, who is the real Sven-Goran Eriksson?
Well, I'm nothing special. In fact, I'm a bit of a bore. If I tell a joke, you've probably heard it before.
Well, profound words from one of the true intellectual giants of the beautiful game. England's Sven-Goran Eriksson. Sven, on behalf of the whole country, it's been a pleasure getting to know you.
Knowing me, knowing you, it's the best I can do.
Marine Corps Blizzard.
Hello there. Is that the United States Army?
No, this is the United States Marines.
Oh, the United States Marines. Even better. Hello, my name is Dale Winton. I wondered if you had some information about possibly getting recruited.
Do you have somebody that wants to be a Marine?
Yes, I do, myself.
Yourself?
I do. I think it's about time for a change of direction, and I don't know, it just appeals to me for some reason.
It appeals to you for some reason?
Yeah, I wondered if you could...
Oh, my God.
Are the US Marines any different to, say, the British Commandos? You know, do you get a sergeant yelling at you all the time?
Yeah, we have that in the Marines. We do a lot of yelling in the Marine Corps.
Really? I suppose one of the challenges is lots of assault courses and physical things, stuff like that.
Very physical. We're very physical.
What sort of physical things do you do?
Well, obstacle courses, a lot of running, a lot of exercise,
Really? Sounds a bit like the trolley dash at the end of Supermarket Sweep. The uniform.
Supermarket Sweep.
Anyway.
How old are you, sir?
I'm 22.
22?
Yeah.
Well, then you're eligible.
What sort of uniform should I take with me?
You don't take any uniforms with you.
Oh, really? Oh, it's a bit more... Because, you know, in the Marines, they always used to have to wear uniforms.
But we do wear uniforms, but you won't get a uniform until you pass our boot camp.
All right. Boot camp? What's that? Do you have to be camping boots? What does that mean? I'm sorry. No. Pardon? Just before you go, thank you ever so much for your help, my darling.
Oh, no problem, sir.
What do they call you? Do they call you, you know, you horrible lot, or, you know, would they give you an order and then call you sweetheart?
No, they won't. In fact, they'll kick you out of the Marines for that.
Really?
Yes, sir.
So you can't call the Major sweetheart? Would that not be friendly? Would that not promote goodwill amongst the Marines?
No, I don't think that would promote goodwill at all, to be quite frank with you.
Really, why not?
That could probably cause physical beatings.
You're listening to Today with me, John Humphreys.
And me, Sue McGregor.
Where the time is against us. Coming up in the first hour, we'll be looking at the case of three blind mice. But despite being blind, they can see how they run. Is this a genetic experiment too far?
Yes, we'll also be seeking answers from Haringey Social Services about their failure to take into care a large number of children found living in a shoe with an old woman who, by all accounts, didn't know what to do.
What is going on?
Well, it's the return of Children's Hour this weekend, John. It seems that all Radio 4 has gone kid crazy. But they won't get us behaving childishly. We're far too mature for that. John, what's wrong?
I can't help it, Sue. I've just noticed that my microphone is shaped like a great big...
Now, John, that's rude. Just for that, I'm going to give you a wedgie.
You've got me skin. Come here, you minx.
No, you can't catch me, John. I'm standing on top of Sister Lavinia Byrne, and it's Tig off ground.
Come on, race you to the top of the Woman's Hour studio.
Last one there has to clean out Jenny Murray's hamster cage.
Come on, Pooed.
More new, gritty, realistic TV detectives coming up in the new series of Crime Doubles 2. He's a cop on the edge, used to bending the law and breaking a few skulls to get what he wants. In the first episode, armed terrorists have kidnapped a cabinet minister's daughter and threatened to blow London sky high.
Oh, no, they haven't.
Frank Bruno is Panto Cop.
We've got a problem. Gov, we've been issued with the most up-to-date technology to crack this case. DNA profiling equipment... Computers on a national crime database, the lot. But it's all gone missing.
yeah, you know what I mean? Don't worry, Lewis, you know, just chill out. Yeah, I've done a good deal. I've exchanged all of that stuff for a handful of magic beans, yeah?
With Les Dennis as Detective Constable Buttons and Coronation Street's John Savident as Superintendent Baron Hardup.
I say upstairs, I want these terrorists behind bars. I'm sick of getting it in the neck all the time, thanks to you, Panto Cop.
I can't help it, boss. Every time we get on the kidnapper's trail, I just keep shouting behind you.
Panto Cop, gripping drama this autumn only on BBC One. And at the Theatre Royal Barnstable, kids half price, Mondays to Thursdays. Book now to avoid disappointment.
Hey, that's Stan.
Yeah.
Stan Boardman.
Oh, yeah. Who's that?
This is Eminem, the real Slim Shady. You know what I'm saying, Stan?
Eminem.
Oh,
the fellow's banned off the radio, isn't it? What are you ringing me for?
Are you Stan?
Stan Boardman. Use it, Stan.
Stan Boardman?
Stan Boardman, comedian, yeah.
Yeah, listen, Stan. I heard a lot about you when I was, like, back in the UK last time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
My man Iceberg Slim, he says you kick ass, Stan.
What?
No, he says you kick ass.
Okay, yeah.
That means you're good, Stan. Listen, Stan,
yeah.
I'm your biggest fan.
Yeah.
And what I did was, I made a song especially for you, Stan, because I'm your biggest fan.
Oh, great. That's smashing, yeah.
Do you want to hear the song I made for you, Stan, because I'm your biggest fan?
I'd love to hear it.
Yeah.
Well, go on, man.
Here it comes, Stan. Dear Stan, this is Slim. I hope you don't mind me calling, but I'm your biggest fan. I love those jokes you said about the Germans bombing your chip shop. And when you went on Des O'Connor, man, that was top. All you said was vodka. But man, he didn't know you were talking about a plane. That's because Des O'Connor has orange skin, but he ain't got no brain. Anyways, you can get my letter, so that's the reason why I call. I want to see your summer season show, Stan. I want to see them all. If you don't get me tickets, I'm going to get real mad. I'll be the worst pain in the butt stalker day you ever had. So get me in a Blackpool, Stan, or maybe Scarborough, or how about Southend, and I'll check out Bobby Davro. I got to see your show, Stan. Just last week, I saw Keith Harris and all of the Ducks. They sucked. Dr. Dre says, you're the man. Boardman Stan. Eminem says, yeah, your biggest fan. Stan. Boardman.
Hey, thanks very much. Listen, you can come to me. I'm in Blackpool next week. You can open the first half of the show if you want.
Eminem the Real Slim Shady.
I might get some people in then.
Eminem the Real Slim Shady is coming to Blackpool.
Yeah, it'd be great, wouldn't it?
That's great. You should be my agent, man.
I should do, yeah. I wouldn't mind 25% of your earnings, pal.
Okay, great talking to you, Stan.
Nice talking to you, Eminem.
Thank you, Stan.
Ta-ra, mate.
Bye, Stan.
You've been listening to Dead Ringers. It was performed by John Culshaw, Jan Ravens, Mark Perry, and Kevin Connolly. It was written by Tom Jameson and Niv Fountain. John Holmes, Lawrence Howarth, John Culshaw, Dave Cohen, and Paul McKenzie. Title music was by John Whitehall. It was devised by Bill Dare. The producer is Mario Steeliandis.
And Dead Ringers will be back at the same time next week. Coming up next, The Archers. Then at 7:15, Front Row. Oh, I see. I'm sorry, I've just been told that due to a tear in the fabric of the universe, reality has folded in on itself, and the Archers and Front Row now coexist at the same point in time and space.
Hello, I'm Clary Grundy. Tonight I'll be discussing the latest revival of a Pirandello play at the National Theatre with Anthony Scher and finding out why Eddie hasn't come in for his tea.
Well, starring Mark Lawson, I'm heading over to the Bull where I'm starting an affair with Jolene. And Linda Snell will be discovering that Francine Stock is the real reason her husband ran away.
But first I talk to Joe Grundy about a new report that says the language of Shakespeare is dead.
Well, you know about it like that.
And then in our film review, I'll be looking at Chicken Run 2, then going into the Chicken Run and feeding the chickens. And Ruth Archer will be investigating news that Michael Winner is all set to make another film.
Oh, no!